This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you know, stay tuned. You know, it doesn't benefit me to drop stakes down, man, and be very black and white about our intentions as we sit here. But rest assured, we have a definitive plan. We've acquired coaching and playing talent to make that plan reality, and we can't wait to get started with the process.
Fascinating. Mike Tomlin speaking this past week. It's partly overreaction time, as it's the first time we get to hear kind of long-form answers from Tomlin. Also, Omar Khan down in Florida. Off-season meetings going on all across the NFL at the NFL owners' meetings in Orlando, where new rules are being put in place. Hip drop tackle, new ideas for kickoffs, all the sorts. Austin Bechtel with you is the Fan Early Morning Show. Also, the Pirates have set their opening day roster, 26-man roster. Might not be the 26 men who end up with the team on opening day in Pittsburgh in a week, but it's the 26 that will go to Miami, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. So Mike Tomlin spoke a lot about Russell Wilson, the trading of Deontay Johnson, also talked about Kenny Pickett, but didn't really say anything about Kenny Pickett.
You know, I just think it was, you know, from his perspective, he felt like a change of scenery would be a good thing. Obviously, when we felt the trajectory of the business with Chicago moving in the right direction, those dominoes started falling. I won't get into specifics about our conversations, but I am appreciative of his efforts during his time in Pittsburgh, and I wish him nothing but the absolute best in Philadelphia.
That sounds to me like Kenny Pickett wanted out, decided it was best to move on. And when the Steelers pivoted to the Bears and said, can we get Justin Fields, the price was so low that the Steelers could basically go to the dollar store, the dollar bin, and pull Justin Fields out of a hat and be able to take a nice bargain home with them. They said, yeah, okay, Kenny, fine. We feel like we've got something better. But this isn't about Kenny Pickett. So the hip drop tackle is something that has now been put into law and is one of those things that makes you question how much is it going to be called. Saw a report that it's basically not going to be called that much at all. Basically, obviously, at the discretion of the referees. But you do wonder how it could potentially impact the game. Also, what's the most pressing thing with the Steelers now is what happens at wide receiver and what happens at center. Tackle, corner. There's still a ton of needs for the Steelers heading into the draft. And in terms of free agents, Tyler Boyd is still available at wide receiver. Odell Beckham is still available. DJ Chark. Doesn't seem like Josh Reynolds is necessarily in play here. Quez Watkins, though, has been signed to the Steelers to a deal. And Watkins is a young guy coming over from Philadelphia. Since Steelers and Eagles are kind of swapping some players here, Quez Watkins, Kenny Pickett, whatever. 15 catches, 142 yards, and a touchdown last year for Watkins. He's not a high-impact wide receiver. Now, 2 years ago, Age 23 season, played all 17 games, started 12 of them, caught 43 balls for 650 yards, one touchdown. Kind of putting together a bunch of fours and Watkins, Van Jefferson, and hoping somebody emerges. Jefferson, not too young of a guy. The Watkins, again, 25. Going to be 26 next season. But only had 21 targets last year. The Steelers are going to need more. And they do so well drafting wide receivers wherever it might be in the draft. But right now, the cupboard is very bare on the free agent market for centers, wide receivers, even tackles. Offensive tackle, Mekhi Becton. You want the Jets problem there? I'd steer clear. Cam Fleming, Andres Pete from the Saints. Chris Hubbard, old friend. Connor Williams is still available at center. He's been injured. And a couple of guards remain. Steelers are good at guard, but there's even the possibility at this point that it might be nasty Nate Herbig moving to center. It's not enticing. Doesn't make anybody excited. Neither should it. It's only had, what, 50 snaps at the position? So Tomlin said there's a few centers available, but after Jackson Powers Johnson and Zach Frazier, the cupboard's bare.
Obviously, it's different than receiver, the discussion that we were having regarding the development of receiver, but I don't view center any different than any of the other positions. You know, they're going to be a segment of guys in a draft pool that are ready to go, and then they're going to be the larger body that isn't.
A segment is just about two or three. And he mentioned the wide receivers. There's a lot of guys available. There was talks about the Steelers meeting with Rome Odunze. Would they potentially want to trade up for the Washington standout? Wide receivers all across the board. Which, I mean, wide receivers, truly, for a long time in the draft, were taken a lot later. I mean, you got your Sammy Watkins high in the first round, and Jamar Chase really was one of the guys that helped with the breakthrough of wide receivers higher in the draft to where they've been seen as more important, more highly impactful players than really ever before. You know, a common terminology for wide receivers sometimes can be they're the icing on the cake. Well, now they're kind of being the filling in the main portions of the cake that are important to an offense. And sometimes a key detractor to an offense if the performance isn't there. So, Tomlin? Anybody available? Tyler Boyd?
We got a lot of options there. There's still a lot of capable guys on the market. The draft is probably unusually deep at that position and has been for the last several years. I just think that receivers and those that cover them come probably a little bit more ready-made in today's game than maybe in years past. I think it's the evolution of 7-on-7 football for high school kids. I just think their development, their skills relative to their positions come with a higher floor. Much like AAU basketball probably transformed basketball, I think 7-on-7 has had a significant impact on the passing game and those that participate in it. And I think that's why there's always a lot of wideouts that appear to be game-ready, corners that appear to be game-ready. They're playing football and working on skills relative to football over the course of a 12-month calendar, doing significant developmental age groups now.
You know, I really do like that answer from Tomlin. It's really fair to say 7-on-7, just like AAU basketball, it's a different game. Obviously, when there's no offensive line, no backs, or just throwing the football around. It's basically backyard football and 7-on-7s. AAU basketball is a lot of one-on-one isolation basketball, specializing your skills. Not a lot of ball movement, not a lot of specialized plays. It's backyard basketball. It's going to pull up with your buddies at the court. It's what we do Wednesday night, so we go shoot around and hoop at your local school gymnasium. And similarly, for wide receivers, we've seen an individual skill set just continue. Take George Pickens, for example. the quality of talent that George Pickens has and the range of catches that he's able to make. But at the same time, how deep is the route tree? And that might be just diving off into a completely different subject matter and conversation. But I think what the point Tom was trying to get at here is wide receiver is deeper than in years past. I mean, just think about the top. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a top five pick. Malik Nabers from LSU might be a top five pick. Rome Odunze is going to be a first round draft pick, maybe top 15. Very solid, solid player. His draft stock continues to increase. I don't know why it would drop. Speedy wide receiver, pretty good route tree. Moves around pretty well. Had good chemistry with Michael Penix. Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. With Jaden Daniels, with Nabers and Thomas, the wide receivers from LSU, who helped Jaden Daniels win the Heisman. Thomas led the country with 17 receiving touchdowns, this past season. And yeah, he runs a 4-3-3. So the Steelers could get a wide receiver in the first round. Is it the best ideal? Donnie Mitchell from Texas is available. So you also have McKinstry, around what, 4-2-1? The combine, Troy Franklin from Oregon. There are guys out there that the Steelers can get, but first round is got to be talked about with center. It's got to be talked about with tackle. And I do worry that the Steelers are going to be completely just complacent here because they lost out on Mitch Morse at center. And it seemed like because the Steelers brought him in for an official visit, so we heard about in free agency is really, the only guy that the Steelers, at the very start of free agency, was talking to at center and really wanted at center. And he went to Jacksonville. Lloyd Cushenberry went to Tennessee, 4-year, $50 million deal. Is that really a deal that the Steelers want to give out? I'd say probably not. You're also talking about at tackle. What happens there? Does Dan Moore Jr. perform well enough to be able to earn a spot again? He didn't for me last year. He didn't the year before that. He is what he is. A fourth round tackle. A swing guy. Maybe he plays it right. And that's not to say that fourth round guys or later can be successful. Look what the Steelers did with Alejandro Villanueva. Ramon Foster was undrafted. Steelers have done very well at taking offensive linemen and transforming them into starters. And in Villanueva's case, in Foster's case, and they're really good players. But I don't see it with Dan Moore at left tackle. Moving to right, you traded up to get Broderick Jones for a reason. And how Mike Tomlin answered this question about Broderick Jones, it's not prioritizing Jones and the fact that they drafted him in the first round. It's basically saying that they know that Jones is good at both tackle spot, whether it's left or right. Dan Moore, though, they feel like is probably worse at right than he is at left, and Broderick Jones is just kind of the fall guy for that because he is better at both spots and Dan Moore isn't. That's the reason he's not playing left.
To be determined. We just got so much ahead of us in terms of player acquisition. Where any specific player ends up is subject to who else is on our roster and the makeup of it. And so obviously he's a component of that.
The fact of the matter is the Steelers, look, they made great moves at quarterback in terms of how great they're going to play out with Russell Wilson, how good he'll be, how good will Justin Fields be. They completely turned over the quarterback room for the first time since before Chucknell, ever. That there's nobody as a holdover from the year before. Will Russell Wilson work out? I feel better about Justin Fields. Wilson, 35, is the over the hill. Let's give him a shot, new offense, see what Russ can do. Can Russ get back to cooking again? Or is Russ cooked? 412-928-9370, the Fan Early Morning Show is presented by CGR Wholesale. Where the average Joe buys like a pro. At CGR Wholesale, our Feed the Need show is coming up at 6 o'clock. Multiple different guests, topics, as we try to support families from around the area with Feed the Need. Pat Narduzzi will join. Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, Curtis Aiken from Pitt Basketball. So many will join the show beginning at 6 o'clock. Also, fan weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet in McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or at sunchevy.com. 47 degrees today, 57 rather, and cloudy throughout the day. Austin Bechtel with you, Fan Early Morning Show. Pirates Talk coming up next.
Swing and a fly ball left side.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Center field. Hanging up there and to the gap and to the wall. Cut off by Lantigua, just shy of it. Hayes is in to score. Sawinski held at third. It's an RBI double for Henry Davis, and the Pirates tie the game at one.
Ah, the smell of baseball in the air. The sweet sound of the ball coming off the bat as opening day is just a few days away. And the home opener is also just over a week away as the Pirates take on the Baltimore Orioles. 4-1-2 start time. You can hear it right here on The Fan next Friday from PNC Park. Also, 4 o'clock in Miami. Pirates will begin the season on Thursday against the Marlins. So the Buccos set the opening day roster. The starting pitchers, Mitch Keller, Martin Perez, Marco Gonzalez. Okay, as expected. But the great thing comes here. And this is something that doesn't happen very often with the Pirates. As much as I like the Pirates' moves that they've made, you might like them, you might disagree with them in years past or even this offseason. One of the best moves that the Pirates have made is deciding to put Jared Jones on the opening day roster. And it wasn't even a decision that should have been questioned for a second. It was a decision that was made for them. They really should not have put any thought into it. Any real say. Slam dunk, easy, put it in the books. Take it to the bank. Jared Jones pitched 16 innings in spring. He did not allow an earned run. An unearned run, but did not allow an earned run. There's no doubt, and as Ben Cherington said yesterday on the TV broadcast, they realized decently quickly that Jared Jones was one of the best guys. It was hard to see why he wasn't. So Jones is a guy that throws 96, 97, good breaking pitches as well. Jones for the Buccos against Atlanta really was the breakout game. Four innings, two hits, one walk, four strikeouts. Again, did not allow a run all of spring. And he was facing an Atlanta lineup, guys that have been in the World Series, that have won a World Series, guys that have won awards, like Ozzie Albies, gave up a hit. Austin Riley, 0-for-3. Matt Olson went 1-for-1 with a walk. Marcelo Ozuna went 0-for-2. Travis d'Arnaud went 0-for-2 with a strikeout. Orlando Arcia 0-for-2 with a strikeout. Jared Kelnick 0-for-2 with a strikeout. It is three unearned runs, excuse me, for Jared Jones on the season. But again, no earned runs allowed. Jones against Boston. Pitched a couple of days ago. Started. Pitched well again. Five innings. Four hits. One run. Unearned. Four walks, five strikeouts against the Boston lineup that had Tristan Cassis, one of their main guys. Bobby Dalbec, of course. A couple of guys who are not typically in the starting lineup for Boston. Sometimes that's the case when you travel in spring training. But nonetheless, Jared Jones is one of your best guys. And Jones is a pitcher who is the second best arm in the Pirates minor league system, according to MLB Pipeline, behind, of course, Paul Skeens. Fastball velocity can get up to 100. He's not currently on the roster at the moment, so the Pirates are going to have to add him to the roster. He's already got a number, 37. Crowley likes to make this joke with me, is, are players older than you or not, Jared Jones? Same age as me, born in the same year. 6 games, 3 starts, 16 and a third innings, 15 strikeouts, a whip of 1.04. No runs allowed. He's going to start the third game of the season for the Buccos in Miami in a 4-game set. So Jones last year was very good in Altoona. 10 starts, 2.23 ERA. Now, the win-loss record, win-loss has kind of been thrown out the window in baseball. Nobody really cares about your win-loss record anymore. 44 in a third innings, allowed 32 hits, 11 runs, 3 home runs, always a good number. Did hit 4 batters, 16 walks, struck out 47, 2.01 opposing average. Now, it was a little bit shaky once he got to Indianapolis. A 4.72 ERA in 16 games, 15 of them being starts, 82 innings. Struck out 99, though. And he's a guy that is very good striking out hitters. Very solid player. Very solid on the mound. And being able to just hum through a lineup. Sometimes walks become an issue. And that could be a little bit of the bugaboo for him. Now, who was the fifth starter in the rotation? Well, it appeared like it was going to be Luis Ortiz, but Ben Cherington said, no. Derek Shelton's going to make the call. And when the call was made, welcome back, Bailey Falter. Man, I don't think I can begin on Bailey Falter. And maybe we're overreacting to Bailey Falter. He's 26 years old. Last year, before the Pirates got him, he was 0-7 in 7 starts. Not good. 40 innings, he gave up 30 runs. 23 of them earned. Then he gave to the Pirates. Same amount of innings, 40 and a third. And his ERA was worse. 5.58, 10 games, 7 starts. Which pushed back to the bullpen. And that was pretty much it for Bailey Falter as a starter with the Buccos until this year. That was a sample size of August 21st against the Cardinals. He's used in an opener type of role. Been used in that type of role a couple of times. So that's the only reason he was pushed in the bullpen and made a couple of starts. The 12th, 19th, and 23rd for the Pirates to end September. He started off really bad. 4 innings, 4 runs against Atlanta. Was okay against Milwaukee. 6 hits in 4 innings. St. Louis gave up a run. And then Chicago was really bad. 6 runs and 4 2/3. And his last start is really what ballooned the ERA a whole entire run. He gave up 8 2 innings against Cincinnati on September 23rd. Guess what happened that day? The Pirates came back from a 9-0 deficit to beat the Reds in one of the greatest comebacks in Pirates history. Maybe the greatest. At least in terms of overall runs that they had to overcome. So as much as I want to holler and be all upset and be up over a fuss over Bailey Falter, I guess I understand where the Pirates are coming from in terms of production. Because he did have some moments. 6 innings, 1 run allowed against the Washington Nationals in the middle of September. 3 2/3, did not give up a run against Milwaukee. 3 2/3, did not give up 1 run against St. Louis. He was very good against St. Louis. August 21st, 6 innings, 1 run. September 2nd. Out of the bullpen, 3 2/3, 1 run. 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. Not a very high strikeout guy. More of a pitch-to-contact pitcher. So Bailey Falter is going to round out the rotation. How long will it be? We'll see. But I feel like it's a disservice to Luis Ortiz and Quinn Priester. Priester, who the Pirates drafted as a first-round pick. Luis Ortiz, who we've been told all about, and his velocity, and it dipped. Now he's back. The walks are an issue. Give him a chance. Why not give him a chance over 26-year-old Bailey Falter? He really does not have too much upside. He doesn't. Then the bullpen's been beaten up a little bit with Colin Holderman losing 15 pounds with the flu. And Carmen Majinski is going to start on the IL. Dari Moretta's out for the year. Tommy John. So Hunter Stratton, Ryder Ryan, Josh Fleming make the bullpen. Fleming might have made it anyway. But Ryder Ryan and Hunter Stratton are the guys that make it over Holderman and Majinski for now because of the injuries. It was a no doubt, no brainer. Henry Davis had to be the opening day catcher. I'm a little surprised Jared Chirillo is the everyday second baseman and not Leiver Peguero. Peguero has the power potential. Also, just the speed, the swagger factor that Peguero brings to the field. Probably going to be up at some point soon. But Triolo is good, man. He's a fundamentally sound player. Gold Glover in the minor leagues at third base. He's a good player. He's a good guy that can round out your lineup at the bottom of the order. Nolan Cruz at short. Ke'Bryan Hayes at third. Andrew McCutchen DHing. Brian Reynolds is going to play right. With Jack Sawinski in the left and Michael A. Taylor in center. Alika Williams, backup infielder, utility guy, can play second, can play short, can play some third. I don't know. I'd rather have Peguero to be able to do that. And I understand that Williams' defense is so much better than Peguero's, but they must want Peguero to play every day compared to Alika Williams, where they know the bat's not there, but they want the defensive versatility. And let's say it's the ninth inning, it's a one-run game, O'Neill Cruz, who's not very good defensively still. Maybe it was just getting out the Kings in spring training, but had a bunch of errors. Maybe they want to bring in Alika Williams to play shortstop late in games. So I think the Pirates can win 85 games. I still think they need to make one more move. Maybe I'm too overly optimistic. That's kind of my nature with the Pirates. I said 75 last year. They won 76. Right in that ballpark. 85 could be attainable with O'Neill Cruz, their best player, back. With Paul Skeens up in the middle of the year. Maybe beforehand, maybe in May. And a lineup that's the best it's been since the playoff teams.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.